people bomb planes, can the police stop it? No, but feed a little zombie ticket to a crocodile. Hello and welcome to episode 464 of Zombie Takeout, the B-Movie and Cult Movie Show. I'm John.
And hello from Chicago's North Side, I am Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, I have to say, even though we were off for 2.5 months, I only watched one movie, Shang-Chi. We will be reviewing it soon, along with another superhero movie. But it is just a brilliant martial arts movie. Forget the superhero thing. If you're just into martial arts movies, check it out. You said you watched a bunch.
I just watched Dune. I can't really remember any movies I've watched as much as television. Mm-hmm. I did a lot more. Wound up with Disney Plus after getting that free from my cell phone deal.
Okay.
To create a backup for my internet, I had to change my deal to get like a hotspot, and they're like, hey, and some free Disney Plus and Hulu and stuff. And I was like, all right, I'm still with Hulu and watching Dune, the Boba Fett as the episodes come out.
I was going to ask, but first off, Dune, easily the best adaptation so far.
I've not seen the Siffy version, but I mean, obviously this is better than Lynch.
Yeah, they're getting better. You know, the Siffy version is better than Lynch. This is better
or
than Siffy.
The Alan Smithy version, really, you should call it.
I didn't dislike Momoa as Duncan Idaho as much as I expected.
I think he's perfect for Duncan Idaho. It's exactly, you know, the type of dude reading the book you'd expect Duncan Idaho to be. This, you know, backslapping kind of, you know.
Yeah. They still didn't get Gurney right, but they never get Gurney right.
I'm trying to remember who Gurney even was in the movie now.
Gurney Halleck.
I know Gurney Halleck, but I'm trying to remember like
Josh
his character
Brolin.
In the movie. Josh Brolin. Okay, yeah.
Gurney is like this big, very kind of jocular guy. Carries a balisette with him. He's, you know.
They did not. No. That is a different Gurney Halleck from the
I
book.
I don't remember Siffy, who was in Siffy, but in the Lynch version, it was Patrick Stewart. Still not right.
Which is a really weird choice.
Yeah.
You kind of think of like an older version of Jason Momoa, you know?
That's
kind of the point. You know, Duncan Idaho's the young warrior, and Gurney is the old one.
Actually, an old Momoa would have been perfect if such a person existed for Gurney.
They could have gotten some old football player or something, I think.
Yeah.
Or The Rock, maybe. I don't know. Maybe he's too young for
still. Not quite old enough, I don't think. Boba Fett. Fucking loving it.
It has been interesting. I'm wondering where they're going with it. But so textural for Star Wars.
Yeah.
You know, usually everything Star Wars is very, you know, surface level.
Right.
And you really don't get into the details as much. Unless you're watching an animated show. But even here,
I was just expecting another nostalgia dump, but they're really fleshing out the lore beautifully.
Have you seen tonight's episode?
Yeah, I just watched it before we recorded.
The nostalgia dump in the middle of a chase scene was pretty funny, actually.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, there is fan service.
All of the droids as you go through it.
There's fan service, but it doesn't get in the way.
No. I like the whole gangster, you know. Robert Rodriguez treatment of this. Yeah. So I'm enjoying it a lot.
Yeah, Danny Trejo's cameo was brilliant.
Yes.
Anyway, finally on to this. Oh, wait, we did have some listeners submitted. I almost forgot.
Well, thank God. They actually did miss us. Can you believe we're back early?
I may regret this, but I'm actually recording with my browser open, which is how I remembered this. Hopefully it doesn't bite me in the ass. Two things from Bodo. He posted a reaction gif of Dr. Evil saying, welcome back.
Thank you. He
posted a photo of the Eagle transporter from Space 1999 and saying, I had one of these a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Wrong show, yes. The model looks just as bad as the models did on the TV show. More on this during the TV show, which will be out on Monday. On to this week's movie. finally, it is.
How did we end the last episode? We were talking about, should we plan the first episode of the year?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Or, oh, there's going to be a tribute.
Yeah, you were dead set on doing, there are going to be tribute episodes, and I was like, well, we should come up with something just in case we did, after that recording, come up with something just in case, actually a couple of things. But yeah, we ended up with a trilogy, maybe a quadrilogy. We haven't done Half Baked.
Oh, no.
And he did kind of make the movie.
All right. I was wondering what we would do for him.
But for this week, it is from 1999, Lake Placid. Of course, this is our Betty White tribute. Actually, that's not an of course, because it's Lake Placid, but it's... We just say, I said this to you on Messenger while I was watching the movie earlier tonight. I have admittedly made some mistakes with tribute episodes. I have made some bad calls, but I fucking nailed this one.
I just wish she was in this more.
Yeah.
I think she was in this movie as much as Christopher Lee was in his episode of Space 1999. They showed up for a day's worth of work, and yeah. If they stayed that whole day, I'd be very surprised.
Right. And that is a wonderful segue for the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by Lake Placid. Yes, you heard that right. The review is sponsored by the movie itself. I know that sounds like a conflict of interest, but first off, this is a joke sponsor. Nobody's actually paying us. And secondly, my pitch is very simple. Do you want to see Betty White curse like a sailor? Of course you do. Then you need to watch Lake Placid. For the most part, the rest of the movie is completely forgettable, but her scenes will change your life.
Man, we're not getting paid for all these sponsors.
No, not. Unfortunately, the only one sponsor in, 12 years now?
What? We're not making any money for this?
Aside from that 50 bucks Bruce Sardi gave us like a decade ago.
Yeah. How am I going to buy a house? Well, anyway. Also brought to you by Chemistry. If you want some ROM with your whatever this was supposed to have been, try some Chemistry in your cast. All right. So we have a marine biologist exploring a lake for some reason. And for some reason, he brought a sheriff with him. And they were in a boat. And he did some diving. And let's just say he's half the man he used to be. But
I'm actually annoyed by that joke, not because it's a bad joke, but because it reminded me of a fucking Stone Temple Pilots song.
Oh yeah, that's kind of what I was referencing. But anyway, half the man he used to be. That's where I was.
Please stop.
Oh, we're back. Oh, let's see. So, of course, the Fish and Wildlife Service comes in. The rest of the cops are summoned. A museum throws in a paleontologist for the hell of it. They know it's a crocodile from Jump. But let's bring in someone that might study dinosaurs anyway, that can act like they're from an Indiana Jones movie.
I mean, to be fair, crocodiles and alligators haven't changed in a very, very, very long time.
Right.
You know, they're pretty much perfect as is, and they got perfect very early on.
I think if they had her sing Anything Goes at the beginning of this, it would have been a much more enjoyable movie, and we would have got the reference, at least, for the character that she was supposed to have played.
Right.
So she's along for the ride, and they do some surveying, they go to the morgue, and then suddenly this eccentric crocodile hunter guy shows up.
Your evil twin.
Yeah. And, yes, goddamn Oliver Platt.
Running joke. Scott bears a bit of a resemblance to Oliver Platt, so it's been a running joke for years.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I do still. Anyway.
I was looking at pictures. It's hard to find a picture of him with a beard, and I don't remember you without one. But, yeah, the resemblance is definitely noticeable.
Yeah. And this was something a student would always kind of Portis the Pirate from the
Yeah,
Three Musketeers.
exactly. That picture really does is the closest.
Yep. So he shows up. They do some hunting for some crocodiles. He eats some people. Oh, of course. They find that there's a cabin that a lovely widow lives at, and they interview her, and of course, she's a bit standoffish. Not at first, though. But she gives them a story. There's something about her husband, and of course,
Something that happened in St. Olaf.
something that happened in St. Olaf, and they then, of course, figure out eventually that she knew about this crocodile all along. Well, if she lives out there, of course, how else would she not have, seen this thing? Because it's like 30 fucking feet big. And of course, she's been feeding it whole livestock, and they,
Entire cows.
yes, entire cows, and they set up an elaborate Home Alone style trap for it. And which, of course, goes exactly to plan. Well, not really, but close enough. And then hilarity ensues.
And is the opening supposed to be Monster Vision? I didn't really get a sense of that.
Yeah, it's very. I wonder how many episodes I've done where I have to make a comment about like an intro and credits. You knew there was something bad about this movie from the very start, because it's trying to set a tone, but I'm not really sure what that tone was.
No.
It was
And
kind of menacing, kind of comical, kind of mysterious at the same time. He really couldn't pick a lane to drive in, it felt
there are
like.
moments when the tone is brilliant, obviously in Betty White's scenes. A lot of
Yes.
Oliver Platt stuff was really fun.
Oliver Platt was a huge saving grace to the rest of this movie that did not feature Betty White.
But then the Fonda Pullman stuff.
Pullman is brutal.
As is Fonda. Bridget Fonda.
Bridget Fonda, she really had nothing to work with. So I really don't blame her that much, because everything she had was very sexist, three-dimensional, city people bad sort of thing that Kelly writes. This is David E. Kelly from like Picket Fences
Oh,
and
God. Okay.
The Practice and Boston Legal. This was his movie, really. And so she did pretty much the best impersonation from what's her name from Indiana Jones, like chilled monkey brains kind of thing. But Pullman, I swear, they could have just gotten a cardboard cutout of Bill Pullman making that face, and you know what I'm talking about. He makes a face. They could have propped it up there, and nobody would have known the difference. He's
And that's literally every Pullman movie.
cinematic mayonnaise.
Yeah.
The only thing I've ever liked him in, I would say, is that Torchwood, that
Okay,
really
yeah.
bad last season of Torchwood. But he was the saving grace as this child molester.
Back to Lake Placid. So we start off with this cop and the marine biologist in the boat. And I really couldn't figure out who was supposed to be the bigger dick between the two of them. I mean, the cop is Brendan Gleeson, so of course you end up liking him, but.
Well, right, the whole noble redneck sort of thing is what Kelly always really loved to put in his work. Although he wound up doing like nothing but, legal shows and stuff, which doesn't make any sense. Legal shows set in the city.
Then we follow the diver as he's underwater, and of course he has an encounter with the croc. But there are some jump scares before that almost felt kind of Disney to me.
Yeah. I
And they
would
really
say
didn't.
when he was half the man he used to be, that was like the first, that was like a, that was a wow scene.
Oh
We're
yeah.
not expecting that exactly.
There was some very good gore in this movie.
Yeah.
It didn't happen a lot, but when it did, it was very nicely done. We didn't need the Partridge Family cover. I'm assuming that was a cover. It's been a while since I've heard the original.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe it was just a brief background thing.
But yeah, I did enjoy his death scene. He was bitten literally in half, you know, with what, so, you know, from the waist
He
down.
was he was what?
Bitten in half, literally.
Half the man he used
to. Yeah, no, yeah, no, no, we're not going there. The croc bit off the bottom half of him. I don't know how he survived long enough to be brought into the boat and to kind of, you know, give us a little head fake there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I don't know if I could have kept going if he somehow survived that.
No, no, no.
I was very glad that he, like, died.
Then we get a scene where Bridget Fonda's character is supposedly meditating, but she's breathing heavily. I've been meditating for decades. It doesn't involve heavy breathing in any way.
Well, yeah, I think they point out that she's, like, doing Lamaze or something instead of actually meditating. But
at that point,
we're like, oh, these goofy city people and flighty.
At that point, I had to wonder if anybody in the movie was actually likable. We hadn't gotten to Betty White yet. Because she is literally the only likable character in the film.
She has better chemistry with the CGI croc
than Pullman and Honda had, was nice to see Adam Arkin. I kind of miss him. I've always liked him.
My God, why couldn't they have had Adam Arkin in one of the other roles? Mm-hmm. Why not Arkin instead of Bill Pullman?
But, like, I knew Fonda's character wasn't going to get eaten, and I was kind of annoyed that I knew that.
I thought they were going to, you know, get Platt eaten, and then I realized they had a red shirt there. It was kind of like a no.
Well, I mean, I was kind of I was hopeful about him, but alas. Then we get Betty White's first scene. I love the line, incomplete records haunt me so. The cop was saying, you know, they had some incomplete records about her husband's death. And she just had some great sarcastic lines, as did Platt. There is some brilliant snarky dialogue in this film.
I'd say Platt and the sheriff have the closest thing to chemistry.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, aside from White and the CGI, but, I mean,
it's worth it. I mean, the gore is good. Platt and Brendan Gleeson are good, but it's worth it. It's worth the price of admission for Betty White. I did like the moose heads in the water.
Yeah.
Those were fun.
It looks like a branch and that it's not.
Yeah. Now, there are crocs in Florida, and, you know, saltwater crocs are a thing, so it's not as absurd as it sounds that one would be in Maine.
But that size?
Well, that size, obviously. It's a giant monster movie.
And, like, living in that cold of water. And then they fuck up the bear.
Yeah. I loved the bear scene. But I think it was Gleason, when they found the toe, said he seemed taller.
Oh, yeah.
Loved that line. It just reminded me of, you know, I thought you were taller from, or you'd be taller from, Escape from New York.
Oh, I thought I was thinking Star Wars.
Oh, yeah, that too. But I think wasn't that the gag in Escape from New York? Whenever met him,
right,
I thought you'd be
right.
Taller.
Yeah.
There are brief moments of greatness in the movie. Unfortunately, it's weighed down by Pullman and Fonda.
And really the writing, too. The writing is just horrendous in this movie.
Well, the writing, 90% of it is shit.
Yeah.
The other 10 is fucking brilliant.
Yeah, like,
it's weird. And they were trying to humanize Bridget Fonda's character by having her tell the story about skipping stones as a kid, and then they fumble through this romantic subplot that they start but then never do anything with until the very end of the movie.
Right. Pullman is just an absolute waste of space in this whole movie. Like, his character hardly does anything. He, like, actually, shoots a trank at a crocodile and then shoots some. I mean, he really doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
He's the most useless one out of the whole thing, even though he's the fish and wildlife guy.
Yeah. How did he have a career?
I don't know.
I think we've been trying to figure that out since the 90s.
I think he looks younger in this movie than he did in Spaceballs. And
Okay.
It's a miracle he didn't ruin Spaceballs every time I watch him in another movie.
I mean, I did like him in that one, but it's Mel Brooks, so.
Right. Like, it didn't require any acting.
Right.
I mean, the most range was him reacting to Dark Helmet trying to
Right.
figure
Yeah.
out their relationship.
He should have done more comedy.
Yes. Or played more child molesters. I don't know.
Now, the cop almost killing Platt when he was out taking a leak, probably the most predictable thing in the movie, and that is saying
Yeah.
something in this movie.
There was a lot of stuff you just knew. I mean, there were only a couple swerves that this thing had that I was like, oh, well, they went for a different choice than the obvious. But most of it was, yep, there's going to be,
The
someone
deputy's
out taking a leak too.
decapitation was one of those swerves. I loved that. That was just spectacular gore.
It was good gore. You kind of, as soon as I thought that Platt was going to go, and I'm like, oh, there's a red shirt. It just wasn't the way I thought he was going.
See, Pullman to me, he didn't ruin the movie. He was just kind of there.
Oh yeah.
Your mayonnaise analogy is perfect.
Oh totally. An absolute waste of space.
He
Just nothing going
typically annoys me, but I didn't really even notice him in this one.
there. They may have actually had a cardboard cut out of him, for all we know. That could have really just been what they did.
One of my favorite lines. I have a handful of lines quoted that I enjoyed. This is Platt's character. After Gleason is caught in a trap, I could probably cut him down, but there's this hot look of mayhem on his upside down face. I enjoyed that. It's there. I think it's just chaotic enough when it does get good to be enjoyable.
But it's so few and far between. And I think he's under the impression that he's building tension, which he was not.
I liked seeing the cop punch Platt. The flirting was just hard to watch. Loved
Between the cop and Platt, or
between Fonda and Pullman.
between Fond and Paul.
Yeah, no, that was the cop and Platt. Like, give that relationship more time, and that's Miles and Bashir.
Not Garrick and Bashir.
Yeah, okay. We're accurate, I guess. But loved the feeding the cow to the croc. That was.
Yeah, why is the cow's life less than the croc's life?
I never knew that scene existed. That should be alone, should be like one of the on those best scenes in all of cinema. Betty White feeding a cow to a giant crocodile.
Oh, Betty White feeding the cow. I was
Yes.
thought you were talking about the end where they were trying to
No, no,
use the
no.
cow for bait.
No. The scene with Betty White when she feeds the cow to the croc,
Yeah.
that was just one of the best things I've ever seen on film. She's feeding this giant croc like some people feed stray cats.
Right.
And her best line, the reason you need to watch this uncensored. Have you mentioned that you've watched this censored?
Yes. It was a
She
rough night last night.
says to the cop at one point, "If I had a dick, this is where I'd tell you to suck it." I was tempted to give the movie a 5 after I heard that line. I had to run it back and watch her lips to make sure it wasn't dubbed, that she actually said those words. And then she calls him Officer Fuckmeat. I was just living for profane Betty White.
I
Speaking
just
of,
wish she was in this more, you know?
bit of a tangent, but speaking of profanity, I recently listened to a book called What the F by Benjamin K. Bergen about the etymology and history and science of profanity. Highly recommend. It is an amazing book. He includes slurs with profanity. Some of the language can get uncomfortable, but absolutely worth checking out. Also, Florida Fish and Game. We're traveling all the way to Maine. Back
Well,
to
I
the
guess
movie, of
if there
course.
was a crocodile that size.
Yeah, I guess. And those, I mean, crocs aren't that common in Florida. They exist there, but gators are more of a Florida thing. But anything of that type, I guess, is Florida's thing.
And right, honestly, I don't know if you remember hearing this story. It was like a running thing for one summer, but a crocodile got loose in the city of Chicago.
I do not remember hearing about that.
And it was kind of a big thing because we had, local enthusiasts that were trying to track it down and capture it, but they all failed. So we called in some dude from Florida
Okay, I
who
guess.
I think got it in like 2 or 3 days. Like they've been trying weeks to get it. And this guy comes in and he captures it. And then they pretty much give him the keys to the city, this guy. So it's just this Florida dude. He's like throwing out the first pitch at a White Sox game. He's like,
Florida man does good.
he's getting like the whole Ferris Bueller treatment in the city.
Nice.
It was hilarious. It was awesome, really.
And I guess if you have a croc or a gator, I wish I knew the class that they're both, how the group name for the two of them
One you
came
see
in.
later, and the other I believe you see after a while.
But croc, gator, caiman, any of that sort of group. I guess when you have one on the loose, you do go to Florida. You do, look to Florida to fix the problem.
And I guess if you have a 30-foot one like this, you get like the official state, there.
Now, I thought I'd be more disappointed when Platt didn't get eaten, but his character, I guess, did kind of grow on me.
Yeah.
The
Well,
ending.
which would have made, been impactful if he'd gotten eaten. If Pullman had gotten eaten, it would have been like, oh, all right.
If Fonda had gotten eaten, I would have cheered.
It would just been like, oh, okay.
But yeah, I was happy he survived. I did like how chaotic the tranking scene got. Not the bit with the cow, but before it was actually trapped in the helicopter.
Yeah, that whole ridiculous just hail of fire.
I'm glad they didn't have to kill the croc, and they were able to just trank it and,
I don't
keep it
think I would
alive.
kill another one though.
Well, yeah, that's true. They did kill the other one, and there was a great I Smell sequel.
Of course.
I think trapping the gator in or the croc in the chopper was clever. It lost half a brain for the half-assed romantic subplot. I mean, yes, it's cliche. I'm starting the year by bitching about a romantic subplot, but this one was like a little bit of flirting ignored. They kind of give you a head fake, like they're just gonna, steer away from it. I was almost at a five when they were doing that, and then of course, they have to hook up.
And I mean, well, the problem with this was there was really zero rom in this com, and there's very little com too, except for Betty White's
Right,
scenes
but
and some Oliver Platt.
the com that was there was great. The chemistry between those two was just, we've seen some horrible chemistry over the years.
Yes.
This is among the worst.
I would say the guy from trying to remember the name of the movie, the guy from Bloodsucking Freaks had work chemistry with, but
On to sequels and remakes.
on the sequels and remakes.
This was followed by five low-budget, made-for-television sequels, starting with like
No.
Placid 2 in 2007. I'm kind of tempted to see them to see how bad they can get.
Oh man, they
Because none of them are going to have what was good about this, but they could be bad good in their own way.
Right. Maybe they're more set on what tone they're going to go with. Because right from that opening credit scene, you could tell he has no idea what he's making with this movie. If he's making a comedy, is he making a horror? Is he making a suspense? Is it an adventure movie? He's trying to please the entire audience at the same time, and maybe these movies will know what they're there to do.
On to brains.
Out of brains.
I'm going for Betty White alone. If you take her out of the movie, it is a straight down the middle 2.5. There's some things I liked, some things I really didn't. She buys it a brain and a half.
I'm giving her a brain, giving half for Oliver Platt, And half for a few little surprises here and there and some gore, I'm going too.
All right. And what have we learned?
We learned that if TV writing's what you're good at, you should really just stick with that.
And I learned that Bill Pullman movies can be enjoyable. All they need are profane Betty White and some good gore. And that's it for Lake Placid. Until next time, when we'll be reviewing Sneakers, this is our tribute to the late, great Sidney Poitier. Should point out, Betty White died a few weeks before hitting 100. Poitier died at 94. Nice change of pace from all the rock stars who died at like 69 and 70 a few years ago.
Right.
Until then, of course, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.